Welcome to the new Manitoba Organic Alliance podcast for organic producers and those interested in organic farming techniques. Hear tips and learn about changes in the field from educators, producers, and analysts. For more about organic farming in Manitoba and to donate to keep this podcast going, visit ManitobaOrganicAlliance.org. Today's podcast is a recording of a phone-in workshop with Lana Shaw on intercropping. An accompanying slideshow is provided on our website. Ms. Shaw is manager of Southeast Research Farm, Agar Arm, and this was recorded in November 2017.
My family has been farming in Saskatchewan for about 100 years. That's a picture of my grandpa, who's passed on now, but in one of the crops that he wanted to show off in pictures. We've been trying to figure out how to farm the best way we can here for a long time, and this intercropping is a very new, very outside of the box technique that, you know, doesn't necessarily fit easily with the types of agronomic practices that, you know, people like my grandpa or my dad have been used to using. But farmers face difficult choices right now with the arrival of difficult agronomic problems. Every choice we have made is a decision of what problems we will have, whether intentionally or not. The problems that we have are often caused by the kind of crops, rotations, and techniques in use in each region and in each field. You know, think the weeds and the diseases that are problematic. We've basically unintentionally chosen them. Next slide. Agriculture is not a recipe you can follow indefinitely. It's an art and science of extracting food from an environment that is at best indifferent to our intentions and success. So change is inevitable and necessary, and intercropping is, I think, a way of responding to that environment. It is a technique that has caught my attention as an applied researcher at Redbird. It is used extensively in areas with labor-intensive agriculture, but has had very poor uptake or successful demonstration in North America among grain farmers. Recently, there has been a resurgence of mixed grain intercropping, along with other biologically adaptive techniques like cover crops. Next slide. Some research groups have undertaken to figure out how to make it work. A growing number of farmers are also figuring it out with us. I am by no means the first proponent of this approach. While waiting for someone else to organize the intercrop innovators on the farm and on research stations, I got impatient and started doing it myself. So that, you know, puts me in an interesting position of leading this, trying to lead something to do with this intercropping. But it makes for some very interesting conversations. It has been said that nature abhors a vacuum. Oversimplified rotations and vast fields of monocrops are much like a vacuum as far as the biological underpinnings of our environment are concerned. That vacuum is currently being filled by herbicide-resistant kochia, root rots, and other difficult problems among conventional farmers. And I think there's problems with monoculture and oversimplified rotation sometimes in organic agriculture as well. But we can't convince people to use 4 or 6 year rotations if they are losing money on some of those years. It isn't good enough to only have 1 or 2 crops that are profitable in a region. We need to find a way to make crop diversity pay the bills. That was my impetus behind working on intercrops. Might as well advance 1 or 2 slides. Intercropping creates different problems while mitigating others. In the view of the successful intercropping farmers, the new problems of separating grain and adapting equipment are preferable to the old problems they were facing, namely, well, for conventional people, mounting chemical and fertilizer bills, yield instability, and for organic producers, it's rampant weeds, I think, would be the main problem. And, you know, maybe not enough fertility due to not being able to grow very much pulses in rotation. In general, intercropping farmers are using less inputs and getting good, consistent production, sometimes also higher yields. Intercropping doesn't remove the difficult problems, but it may mitigate the damage that they cause. The goal when I'm evaluating and optimizing intercrop agronomy is to find grain crops that can be seeded at the same time and harvested together. So I've been doing that since 2012 at Redvers. The intercrop that people are most familiar with is, I think, pea and canola. It's not new. They were grown before hybrid canola came along and were basically pushed out by Liberty and Roundup tolerant canola hybrids. So it's certainly an option for producers to do a pea and canola, but it's one where I don't know if you always get a large yield benefit. It really depends on how healthy your pea or your canola crop are. Now, that's not really relevant to, maybe as relevant to organic producers, but something like a mustard and pea is certainly a possible combination. Chickpea flax is the first intercrop that I ran trials on. The idea that with that intercrop is to expand the area of adaptation of the chickpea crop, making maturity more reliable, reducing disease pressure, and stabilizing yields. Producers who are growing the chickpeas with flax are doing it for various reasons, but they are finding it lowers their production risk and lowers their disease pressure. Chickpeas require nitrogen stress and moisture stress to reliably ripen, and flax helps to revive this stress at the end of the growing season. Also, having an intercrop that competes better with weeds than either crop on its own is a weed management technique, and that would be attractive potentially to organic producers. One intercrop that does have me all fired up at the moment is lentil and mustard. Currently, lentil producers are facing a lot of problems with weeds, root rot, and unusual rainfall variability damaging their crops. There are indications that lentils grown with mustard are healthier than monocrop lentils, but there has been almost no useful disease evaluations with this crop combination so far. Even given with our terrific monocrop yields and healthy crops for both the mustard on its own and the large green lentil on its own in Redvers in 2017, we were still able to get over yielding of 15 to 21% in a replicated trial. Now, that was a very low input trial. We had actually no herbicides and no fertilizer, although very little minimal nitrogen fertilizer and no other fertilizer added to that. So it's not an organic trial, but I think the results are pretty relevant to organic. There are good biological reasons to expect that a more diverse crop canopy and root system will reduce the severity of many of our common crop diseases and insect pests. This is a largely untapped area of study due to skepticism over producer uptake of the technique. But if there is producer demand for this kind of information, if there's producer acres, then we can start investigating what happens to diseases and what happens to some of these pests under a more diverse system. Apart from this, having two crops in a field, intercropping can reduce the outbreak of pests and diseases due to the compensating effects of the other crop. If one crop is thinned out or damaged by a pest, the companion crop will often compensate by increasing growth and production in those areas. If excessive moisture damages the pulse crop, an oilseed crop may well fill in to compensate. In fact, we saw this in a chickpea flax trial this year at Redvers. I was very displeased to see that standing water knocked out chickpeas in a low spot for several plots, but the flax survived and established ground cover and produced yield, actually 30 bushels per acre worth, even at quite a low flax seeding rate. So not so good for my research trial objective, but a very good example of the benefits of intercrop. Let's go ahead. I've got a slide with the large green lentil in a monocrop that's very lodged. The next one is the large green lentil with brown mustard. It stands up really nicely and was producing very good yield. There's a large green lentil with the yellow mustard in the next slide that is also not lodged. It stands really well and had produced high yields, and you can just see how, you know, that's a much taller canopy that's going to compete better with weeds. The next slide, it's got a little summary of the results from that green lentil and yellow mustard. So we were getting you know, high value and less risk overall, I think, and that's one of the things that's going to drive intercropping, you know, on the conventional side and on the organic side. So a well-planned intercrop will reduce lodging and increase podding height in crops like lentils, which should improve harvestability and quality of the crop. So it is through these mechanisms that mixed green intercrops are a means of managing production risk. And it is the intercrop trend is driven both by an appreciation of the benefits of biological diversity and a desire to fatten production margins. It's one of those cases where less is not more. More is more. So let's go on to the frequently asked questions. Now, before I get to that, the goals of an intercrop, what I generally found when I'm talking to people is they say, I want to try intercropping, and I say, well, what are you trying to achieve? What kind of crop are you trying to grow as your predominant crop? And then, you know, I try to look at a few options for a companion crop that is going to help them to get their main crop. And then you design, you know, seeding rates, and you design, you know, their companions in order to try to help them achieve what it is they want. So if they want to be able to produce organic lentils or organic peas or something like that, or they want to be able to just have a really nice clean field, you know, a clean field of flax with a chickpea, well, then we, you know, you can go ahead and try to pick a select seeding rates or, you know, in the case of conventional, sometimes adjusting fertility in order to get the kind of crop mix that you want. So for example, we had soybean and flax, conventional soybean and flax in 2017, which could be a potentially an organic crop. But because we had quite a high nitrogen situation, we ended up with a lot more flax and less soybeans than what I wanted. The land equivalency ratio was still over 1, but I think people that were planting that crop would look at it and go, that's not really what I was wanting. You wanted at least half your crop probably being soybeans and half flax, or 3/4 soybeans and 1/4 flax, I think, because, you know, soybeans are a larger seed. You don't want to plant one soybean and get 6 back. That's not a very good return on the effort that you're putting in for that. So that balance of crop that you're trying to achieve depends on the value of the, you know, two crops you're combining. You may want one of more and less of the other. You're always going to get some of both, and you can try to adjust your seeding rates and conditions, maybe seeding timing or seeding depths in order to achieve that. Let's see. So let's go on to the frequently asked questions. The first page is, who is intercropping? So both conventional and organic producers. In general, I find that this is a younger generation of farmers that are willing to look at doing this. And usually mid-sized farms to smaller farms. Now, I'm quite happy to, you know, help the larger farms try to fit this into their production. But usually they're not looking to make things more complicated, they're looking to make things less complicated. Next slide, there's a picture of Derek and Tanith Axton, who won the Outstanding Young Farmer Award. They're not organic farmers, but they're definitely what falls under this sort of a new umbrella of new conventional. It's a hybrid of organic and conventional techniques, and they're doing some very innovative things that, you know, they've been recognized for and are off to the National Outstanding Young Farmer competition, I guess it is, in Ontario shortly. So, you know, I'm quite happy to see that is being recognized by some, at least, as you know, cutting edge of agriculture.
You've been listening to part of a phone-in workshop with Lana Shaw, manager of Southeast Research Farm AgriArm, offered in November of 2017 on the new Manitoba Organic Alliance podcast. For more about organic farming in Manitoba, to suggest podcast topics, and to donate to keep this podcast going, visit ManitobaOrganicAlliance.org.